Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Welcome to Digest This. I'm Tina Nunziato, and with me is Dr. Liz Cruz. Welcome, welcome to another show. And for those of you that are avid listeners of Digest This, you know that when Tina starts a podcast, it's time for another GI focus. So we are going to talk about sepsis on this podcast, Dr. Cruz. And I realized, I realized when you asked me earlier what our next GI focus topic was going to be, and I said sepsis, and you said, well, that's not really a GI issue. I was like, even more reason to do it because I thought it was a GI issue.
Well, I didn't mean it's not a GI issue, but it's not specifically a GI topic.
That's, you know, yeah.
I mean, but it is a great medical issue.
It is a great medical issue, and it does roll over into GI.
Yeah, actually, it's a great topic because it's an umbrella process or term or whatever you want to call it, illness that can occur as a result of dysfunction in any part of the body.
Right. But I'll tell you what I thought it was, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay.
Because I think, maybe a lot of people think this, I don't know, but every situation where I've heard sepsis, you know, like, oh, they died of sepsis, or this person had sepsis and they died, it was always pertaining to the colon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And so I always thought that sepsis meant that there was like a break in the colon tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Like
in the colon wall?
Yeah, like in the colon wall.
Okay.
Like maybe it split or there was a perforation or something.
Right.
And where bacteria or stool got outside of the colon into the bloodstream.
Okay.
Like into the body.
Sure.
Like,
well,
that's what I thought.
Yes, and a person could become septic in
because
this situation.
Of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I thought that's what sepsis was.
Okay.
Like, I thought
that
was the definition of sepsis, is when your colon basically bursts and you get poop throughout your body, right? And then your body's reaction to that and you die. And okay, so that's my interpretation of sepsis.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
Now that Tina's explained how stupid she is. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No, but then you're sitting here, you know, going to explain sepsis, and you're explaining it to me before we start this podcast, and I'm thinking to myself, geez, I would have never known that. That's crazy. Okay, anyway, so we're going to get started. Dr. Cruz, welcome to your show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Are you glad to be back?
Absolutely.
Podcasting again.
I love podcasting.
I know. We went like almost 2 weeks without podcasting.
No, I was going into withdrawal.
I was going through withdrawal as well. Okay. Because it's so much fun having this microphone right here. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Dr. Cruz, in typical GI focus fashion, what is sepsis?
So sepsis is basically... how can I make this simple? Because it's
complicated.
It's
a very
complicated
big thing.
I mean, because in general, I mean, sepsis is usually initiated or comes on as a result of an infection somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, an infection that has basically gotten out of control and has caused the body to put out all sorts of what they call pro-inflammatory mediators. So all sorts of little mediators, chemical mediators that the body puts out to try to fight an infection or to try to fight some sort of inflammatory process, okay, like pancreatitis or trauma, right? So it doesn't just have to be an infection, but most commonly it typically is an infection.
But you mentioned even in the lungs.
Yes, like a pneumonia.
Like a pneumonia.
A pneumonia.
Right.
Even in the kidneys, like a urinary tract infection, okay? A simple urinary tract infection could
septic.
Could bring on sepsis in some people. Skin, cellulitis, like a skin infection, can also make someone septic, all right? So basically, the body is trying to fight this. And you get into a situation where you almost get too much pro-inflammatory mediators, and it gets out of control, okay? And you've got these things floating, you know, in the bloodstream, being taken to the entire, all parts of the body through the bloodstream, mm-hmm. and causing destruction or causing injury to cells and to tissue. Mm-hmm. All right. And so that is really what sepsis is.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a infection that's gone wrong.
An infection that's gone wrong, or mm-hmm. some sort of inflammatory process that's gone wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, severe pancreatitis, mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, trauma. Most commonly an infection, and most commonly a bacterial infection, mm-hmm. but it can also be caused by viral infection, fungi, or some parasite, mm-hmm. but most commonly bacterial.
Okay. So talk about what the symptoms are of sepsis. Like, what might someone feel? I mean, you mentioned urinary tract infection. I mean, there are so many people that get urinary tract infections. I mean, what's the difference between having a urinary tract infection and being septic, right? So right. what are some of the symptoms that people feel when sepsis starts to come on?
All right. Well, first of all, let me talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about like risk factors, mm-hmm. okay? Because you're right. I mean, people get infections all the time. People get urinary tract infections. They get a bronchitis or a pneumonia, little infections in their skin. Maybe they cut themselves, or they got a spider bite, or they've got, something that's causing some little infection. I mean, it's actually a miracle that we don't get more sick and get septic more often, right. with all the stuff that's out there. But fortunately, I would say it's a blessing. You know, most people have the ability, their bodies have the ability to fight these infections, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't progress into sepsis and more serious complications of sepsis, where they start to develop organ failure. Okay, but so some of the risk factors, as far as people that are at higher risk for getting septic, would be someone who's in the intensive care unit. All right. In fact, 50% of intensive care unit, like ICU patients, have some sort of infection, okay? And they're at high risk, mm-hmm. for being septic. Bacteremia, which is where people will get an infection in their bloodstream, all right? So bacteremia, meaning bacteria in the bloodstream, mm-hmm. can also lead to sepsis, mm-hmm. all right? And septic shock. Advanced age, so someone who's over the age of 65, all right? Sepsis is definitely something that's more commonly seen in the older patients, okay? So age is definitely something that can be a risk factor, all right? And also in someone who is younger, okay, where their immune system isn't really developed well, like, mm-hmm. so like maybe in a baby, mm-hmm. all right, less than a year old, someone who's immunosuppressed, all right, somebody who has diabetes or HIV, AIDS, someone who has liver failure or kidney failure, or even some people are immunosuppressed who have certain cancers, mm-hmm. okay, especially if they've been getting chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that immunosuppresses them. And so that puts those people at risk. All right, so, and I mentioned diabetes already. Someone who's had a previous hospitalization can also be at risk. Mm-hmm. And the thought process with that is that somebody who's been in the hospital has been exposed to certain bacteria, and the flora, the bacterial flora in their body gets a little bit altered, mm-hmm. just from having been in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Genetic factors can even play into it, okay? So those are some of the risk factors as far as people that are at higher risk for developing sepsis. All right. Okay. So how do these people present? Usually they're going to have a fever. They're going to have a fast heartbeat. And when they go in to get evaluated in the emergency room, okay, if they go into the hospital to the emergency room, that is, and they get evaluated, they get blood work. That is someone who may have an elevated white blood cell count. Somebody who may, as the sepsis progresses, okay, to where you're getting into like septic shock, these are people who have low blood pressure, mm-hmm. okay? And septic shock is actually when the person, that person's sepsis is so bad that even giving them IV fluids and, you know, this, these are people where you got to get antibiotics started on right mm-hmm. away, but even giving them the IV fluids, their blood pressure stays really low mm-hmm. and they have to be given medicine to help bring up the blood pressure. Mm-hmm. That's what septic shock is.
Okay.
So usually, you know, these people will come in. Another thing also is like altered mentation mm-hmm. where there's some confusion. You know, the family member brings this person into the emergency room and they've got a fever, they've got a fast heartbeat, they're breathing quickly, and the family member is saying, you know, they're confused, mm-hmm. they're not acting normal. I mean, these are all signs that this person is probably septic. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
What else? You know, once they come into the hospital or once they come into the emergency room, they do blood work on them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are the tests that they'll typically run to see if they're septic?
Usually they'll do like a CBC, mm-hmm. which is to check their blood count, their white blood cell count, check for anemia, check their platelets. They'll check chemistries on them, coagulation numbers. They'll check like a lactate level, because the lactate level can also tell a lot about that person. If that person is what they call acidotic. You know, those are patients that are typically very sick. You know, they can usually, they'll get, as far as getting like some sort of radiology testing, a chest x-ray definitely to see if they've got a pneumonia. And they can also get a CT scan sometimes that will show that there's maybe an abscess somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, somewhere in one of the organs, you know, maybe they've got an abscess sitting in their abdominal cavity. I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. And so those are some urine analysis mm-hmm. to check and see if they've got a bacterial infection. Those are some of the basic tests that they'll do. They can, once a person gets into the intensive care unit, they can put catheters into their veins to give them fluids. They can put catheters into their arteries to run certain tests to see if that person has is very acidic, you know. So there's all sorts of things that can be done, but most importantly is getting treatment started right away.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If it's found that they are septic or in septic shock, what are some of the, so obviously antibiotics, right?
Antibiotics, right away.
What else aside from
fluids.
That?
Fluids. Fluids and antibiotics. If this is a person who has a blood pressure that is very low, and despite getting fluids, the blood pressure is not improving and in fact is going lower, they may need to put that person on medicine to bring the blood pressure up.
Okay. But that's pretty much it. I mean, it's antibiotics because it's a bad
antibiotics, yeah.
Infection.
And then, you know, some of these people require, I mean, you know, depending on their respiratory status, you know, how they're breathing, mm-hmm. they may need to put them on a breathing machine, on a ventilator. Mm-hmm. Some of these people, if depending on their kidney function, sometimes may require dialysis, mm-hmm. you know.
And the people that typically die from septic shock. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it basically just happening because just there's antibiotics are too late, or it's just too much infection, antibiotics don't even touch it?
Well, you know, with septic shock, I mean, you are already
beyond.
I mean, first of all, mm-hmm. your blood vessels are not doing what they need to do, you know, to keep the pressure up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these people typically will develop what we call multi-organ dysfunction, mm-hmm. where their organs, you know, a lot of times their kidneys could start shutting down where they're not producing enough urine, mm-hmm. okay, despite getting fluids. You know, their lungs, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I mean, this may be somebody who may need to be put on a breathing machine, mm-hmm. on a ventilator. But usually it's this multi-organ dysfunction that if it progresses, you know,
the body just shuts down.
Ultimately, yeah, mm-hmm. lead to death.
Right.
And, you know, so sepsis is a serious thing.
Yeah,
definitely very serious thing. You know, high mortality. So it's definitely something that needs to be recognized quickly, and that person needs to be treated immediately. Oh, the other thing I failed to mention on the labs, you were asking me about, you know, what kind of workup will they do? They usually will get blood cultures on these patients to send off to the lab to see what bacteria is growing mm-hmm. in there. And it's best if they can get the blood cultures before they start the antibiotics. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times in the emergency room, you know, they'll get those blood cultures drawn along with all the other blood work.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Dr. Cruz, for enlightening me and everyone else on sepsis.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
It's a big topic. So there's a lot. I mean, this was just a little skimming.
Yes.
Skimming.
Scratch of the surface.
Just a scratching the surface. Yeah. I mean, but definitely something to be aware of. And look, I just want to say, you know, I think that when we get cuts on our skin or, you know, abrasions or whatever, I think that we have to really be careful, and you have to, you know, you've got to be careful. You've got to wash it, keep it clean. If you find that
it looks like
it's getting infected, mm-hmm. go and get it checked out right away to see if you've got to get on antibiotics. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you know, I have seen and heard of people that have died, okay, and it all started with some simple little
infection. Yeah,
a simple little infection. So you've got to have a respect for these organisms, these mm-hmm. bacteria, these viruses, these parasites that, you know, that live in our bodies, mm-hmm. okay, because, you know, we're a miracle. Our bodies are miracles, and it's amazing that we don't get sick more often. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you've got millions of bacteria in your body.
Right.
It's really amazing
trillions.
We don't get sick more often. And but you've got to really be careful and have a respect for these things and take care of yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and especially if you're someone who has any of these risk factors that I talked about earlier. You mm-hmm. know, if you've got diabetes, if you've got cancer, if you've got HIV or AIDS, or some sort of anything that suppresses your immune system, if you are of an adult of an older age, mm-hmm. you know, if you're greater than the age of 65, I mean, look, those are all risk factors. If mm-hmm. you smoke, mm-hmm. just all of these things. And so you've got to be really careful. So just be aware, if you ever feel that you're coming down with something, you're not feeling well, if you feel you've got a little infection, don't put it off and feel like, oh, it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. Get it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Get it checked out.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you. I hope you learned something, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.